Good evening, and welcome to the first of 2014's All Hallows Read Spooky Stories here at New World Witchery. As we do every year, I'll be bringing you a new story or series of stories each week during the month of October as we set the eerie mood for that most wonderfully witchy of holidays, All Hallows Eve. The theme this year will be that of urban legend. I'll bring you stories from chain letters, emails, rumor, whisper, all which will hopefully make you check the back seat of your car, the upstairs extension of your phone, and maybe even under your bed or bathroom sink, perhaps. Just a word of warning, these stories may be intense, so if you're frightened easily and don't like the feeling of being cursed, haunted, or generally watched by things unseen, you might want to just skip these tales of terror and wait for November. If you're feeling brave, however, let's make a few things go bump in the night together and get on with the stories. We'll begin tonight with a rendition of an urban legend I like to call Pushed. In the early autumn of her senior year, Carmen had high hopes that perhaps she would be able to get through the coming 9 months, then slip off to college where she could start things fresh. Her previous 3 years of high school had not been the proverbial golden age that so many adults seem to think they should be. Never exactly a sexpot or cute by whatever yardstick adolescents seemed to be using to determine such things, Carmen was nonetheless a fairly sweet-faced young woman. Not particularly athletic, she was no cheerleader or volleyball player, she did march in the school band, playing her piccolo, an activity that often involved drilling for hours under a scorching sun. Her academic record was fine, quite good, really, which bolstered her hopes for a future better than her recent past. What plagued Carmen was her own awkwardness. Social situations, particularly new ones, or interactions with people she didn't normally circle with, were always fraught with stomach-churning angst. Once, at a rare party outing, she had assumed an abashed wallflower position until a Prince Charming type came over to speak to her. She could only stammer the occasional platitude or let out shrill little giggles at inappropriate moments, and the boy quickly tired of her and wandered away. She was both relieved and saddened when he left, but almost immediately afterward, she heard him doing a bad imitation of her laugh and stutter to a group of girls in the kitchen, who all agreed she was some kind of deranged nutcase liable to shoot up the school one day. She had fled in absolute tears. Such incidents were far too common. Her perpetual mousiness made her a target for ridicule and mockery. Carmen would attempt to laugh it off, no matter how much it made her heart ache. But over time, the teasing of her freshman year had given way to outright cruelty during her junior term. Things would go missing from her locker or gym bag, only to turn up in anonymous public forums. Her tampons had been stolen once during the previous year, then left stapled to a bulletin board on a huge yellow piece of poster board with enormous letters saying, "Hey Carmen, found these in the janitor's closet. Extra large, super absorbent. Those are yours, right?" The janitor rumor had continued to haunt her, and eventually someone began circulating a story that she was carrying his baby, even going so far as to slip ultrasound pictures into her locker and book bag so that they would fall out randomly, heightening the gossip's fervor. Some girls had become completely nasty to her. One group in particular, 5 girls from one of the savvier cliques, began to openly trip her in the hallways, kick the door of the bathroom stall open while she was using it, and take photos of her which they later post online anonymously, or occasionally yank her hair as she was sitting quietly by herself. In short, Carmen winced, was miserable. Her only ray of light was the coming graduation day and its release from her high school prison sentence. The morning of the accident, she slipped into school quietly, avoiding Marissa and her crew, and made her way into homeroom. When the five girls came into class, the teacher was already there, and they seemed to be distracted talking about other things, so she felt relatively sure that the day would be, at worst, only a bit dismal. And then the fire alarm rang. Quickly, everyone sprang to their feet and began to shuffle out the door. No smoke or heat seemed to be surging through the hallway, so it seemed a safe bet that the school was simply conducting a fire drill. The normal route was impassable due to some construction or sewer service occurring near the cafeteria, where two orange cones stood sentinel by an open manhole. As Carmen finally got to the parking lot where her class was to wait, she noticed that her teacher had not come out yet, but Marissa and four other girls were mere feet away from where she stood. She swallowed hard and tried to imagine herself invisible. "Hey, slut! Heard you had to go to the doctor to take care of a little something over the summer. I bet old Carl's real disappointed about it," hissed Marissa as she slid up behind Carmen. Carmen half-smiled and looked at the ground, holding her breath. "Hey, bitch, answer me when I talk to you," Marissa grabbed Carmen's hair and yanked hard, making tears come to the 17-year-old's eyes. She yelped and turned to face Marissa, and something happened. As she turned, almost as if by instinct, her hand flailed up, landing a hard, open-palmed slap against Marissa's rouged cheek. In the stunned silence that followed, neither Carmen nor the other girls spoke. When Marissa raised her eyes to meet Carmen's, they were full of hate and fire. "Oh, you're dead," she said with icy deliberation. Carmen's desperation got the better of her, and before she knew what she was doing, she had slapped Marissa again, hard enough to knock her down, and then she turned and ran as fast as she could. She could feel the other girls closing in behind her even as she charged back to the building, hoping she could get to the principal's office before they caught her. Even if she had to suffer suspension or even expulsion for fighting in school, it would be better than what would happen if she fell into their hands. As she rounded the corner by the cafeteria, she felt hands on her back, grabbing and shoving. And suddenly she felt her feet flying out from under her. She let out a shriek, stumbled forward past an orange cone, then felt a sharp jolt of pain in her head and neck, and then darkness. Marissa and the other girls stood staring down the open manhole, fuming and huffing. "You bitch, you get back up here," they shouted, but there was no response. Sensing that something had gone wrong, the five girls backed away from the opening in the pavement and slipped back to the parking lot to join the others. When Carmen didn't return home that night, her parents were worried. 3 days later, police found her body in the open manhole, neck snapped at a severe angle from a strike against the metal ladder leading down into the darkness. The whole school was questioned about Carmen, and few could even remember who she was. Some said they'd seen Marissa and her friends near Carmen the day of the fire drill, but all that the little clique would say is that they had talked in the parking lot briefly and then gone inside after the drill was over. They remembered Carmen heading towards the cafeteria, but that was the last they'd seen her, they claimed. The whole incident was chalked up to an accident. The school's insurance settled with Carmen's heartbroken family over the open manhole issue, and everyone thought that the tragic event was behind them. But things had only just begun. A few months later, Marissa was at home preparing for a date when she heard a faint, echoey sound coming from behind her in the bathroom. She looked around, but she couldn't figure out what the sound was or where it came from exactly. She examined her closets, cabinets, thinking maybe her stupid little brother was playing a trick on her, and even the second-story window ledge, although she couldn't imagine anyone climbing up there. Still, she was nervous, as the sound came and went, sounding a lot like laughter. A girl's laughter. But darker. Colder. Somehow dampened. She hopped into the shower, hoping that the hissing water might drown out the noise. As the steam enveloped her, she began to get distracted once again, thinking about what she might wear that night. Marcel would be here in half an hour to pick her up, and she wanted... Then the noise started again. Louder now. Coming from right behind her. Marissa spun around, but nothing was there. She tentatively called out to see if anyone was in the bathroom, but no response came. She poked her head out of the curtains, but no one was there. The laughter was loud enough to be right there with her, and it seemed like she could hear a faint whisper in it, too. She shouted angrily at her brother, but he shouted back from the living room, denying any involvement. Marissa heard the sound of his PlayStation and realized he must be telling the truth. She swallowed hard and pulled her head back in the shower, and as her head passed by the shower head, she heard in a clear, icy whisper,
"You pushed me."
Just then, the shower began spewing out a stinking black rain of sewage all over her. She shrieked and bolted out of the room. Marissa's parents attributed it all to a plumbing malfunction, of course, but she wasn't so sure. Every time she found herself alone in the bathroom now, at home, or school, or even at a restaurant, she would hear that same faint laughter coming from the pipes. She had learned to bathe quickly and less often, and everyone around her noticed what a mess she was becoming as a result. Her friends began avoiding her, and strange things kept happening. Toilets would suddenly burble up and spew filthy water all over the floor and her shoes when she was around. A thick stench began to surround her and her house. Her parents called every plumber they could find to identify and fix the problem, but they never found any issue with the pipes. Marcel, of course, was out of the picture. Only Marissa's friend Tracy, one of the clique who had been with her when Carmen died, even spoke to her on the phone anymore. One night, about a month after the first incident in the shower, Marissa was sitting in her room, in the dark, trying to meditate to some music and calm herself. She breathed shallowly due to the scent, which seemed to be going stronger by the day. Her parents and brother had gone out to escape the odor. Marissa didn't dare to leave the house now, as the stink followed her and made others curl their lips in disgust as they passed her by. As she sat there, she heard a long, loud, metallic groan from somewhere deep in the house. She tried to ignore it, but then she heard the sound of gushing water. Sure she was somehow responsible for a pipe bursting now, she got off of her bed and followed the sound. In her bathroom, the sink, shower, and tub faucets were all on, beginning to fill and overflow their basins. Marissa tried desperately to close the taps, but to no avail. Then she heard the laughter again, all around her, and in a sing-song chant as clear and cold as a frozen wind came Carmen's voice. "You pushed me! You pushed me!" "Stop it!" screamed Marissa, sobbing as the water in her tub and sink began to ooze black muck. "Leave me alone!" she screamed again, but the laughter grew louder. "You pushed me! You pushed me!" Marissa grabbed her phone from her pocket, running to the bathroom door, but slammed shut and locked. She clutched at the handle and tried desperately to open it, but couldn't. And still the song grew louder and louder. "You pushed me! You pushed me! You pushed me!" Blubbering, Marissa grabbed the phone and dialed Tracy's number, hoping that maybe, somehow, she would believe her. "Tracy!" "Marissa? What's going on? What's all that no-" "Tracy! It's Carmen! What we did! I think she's back somehow! Tracy, you've got to-" Suddenly, Tracy heard an ear-splitting scream over the sound of the gurgling and hissing water. And then the call dropped, and there was silence. Tracy sat for a moment, cold sweat forming on her skin, as she looked at her phone blinking in her hand, and as she tried to fathom what she might have just heard. Hesitantly, she pushed the redial button. It didn't ring, but immediately she heard the sound of water again. Not hissing, but trickling and dripping gently, almost soothingly. Marissa? She said, but there was no reply. She listened for a moment more and was about to hang up when she heard a faint laughter. Marissa, is that you? Is this a joke or something? Because it's not very... Suddenly, she heard the sound of the phone moving, scraping against something, and then an icy giggle that was certainly not Marissa on the other end. A voice that Tracy almost recognized whispered into the phone.
You pushed me too.
And the line went dead. Marissa's body was found in the sewer outside of her home, broken and battered. She was covered in the black slime, with thick scratches on her face, arms, legs, and torso. Her eyes were wide open, frozen in terror. The investigation team noted that her fingernails had been torn off and found evidence that she had clawed at the pavement by the storm drain outside of her house. No one could figure out just what had happened to her, and the crime went down as one of the great unsolved mysteries in the town's logs. Marissa's family, despite their loss, were surprised to find that their plumbing problems seemed to have gone away along with the stench. At Marissa's funeral, however, they caught a faint whiff of it from a girl they remembered as a friend of their daughter's, Tracy, they recalled, who looked very out of sorts and trembled with a stifled sob as the body was lowered into the ground. Carmen eventually took her revenge on the girls that had so tormented her. But it seems that her vengeance was incomplete. Her years of restrained rage had broken through with supernatural force, and she began claiming other victims, demanding that anyone who heard or read her story share it or face the same consequence as her murderers. 2 months ago, 16-year-old David Gregory read this story in an email, along with the closing lines that he should share it with the phrase, "She was pushed," in the subject line, or face dire consequences, but decided it was just a silly ghost story and deleted the message. When he went to take a shower, he heard laughter. He started to freak out and ran, dripping wet and naked, to his computer to retrieve the message and repost it, but he could no longer find it. The laughter stopped, and he put his nervous fears to rest for a bit. He said goodnight to his mom, went to sleep. In the middle of the night, David's mother awoke, hearing a loud noise and the sound of water running from David's bathroom. She decided he must be doing something that she was better off not stumbling in on, and so she went back to sleep. When she went to wake him up for school the next morning, however, David was gone. A few hours later, the police found him in the sewer, his neck broken, and deep scratches on his body. And so, I admonish you, dear listener, to share Carmen's story as soon as you can, with whomever you can. It seems that our dear Carmen wants people to know that she was pushed. And if you're not going to help her out, well, we can't be responsible for what happens. Good night, gentle listeners. Good night.